This is Plus Money Golf on the Patriot Sports Network. A golf betting podcast that's
better than most.
What he said.
How about him? That is better than most. Better than most.
And now, here are your hosts, Adam, Smitty, and Eric.
Good evening. Welcome to Plus Money Golf and Fantasy Sports Corp Network, where all we do is win, win, win. Another long shot winner last week.
Hell yeah.
Akshay Bhatia finally gets it done again, but a legit win this time, gets his way to the Masters. First kid to ever participate in the drive, chip, and putt to play in the Masters. So that's pretty crazy in itself. I watched a couple things today as they were talking about him and couple facts about him. He turned pro at 17 years old, just grinded it out. Webb card lock, got injured, came back, got his card back, had a win, finished number one on the web, got on the tour. Only high school kid to ever play in a Walker Cup team. So that's saying how good he was. I mean, to play in a Walker Cup team, you're a phenomenal golfer as an amateur anyways, but to do it in high school shows what the potential they thought he had then. I mean, him and Denny go toe to toe, six shot lead, goes to zero with one hole left. 15 birdies in the final round between those two. They completely lapped the field almost. I mean, counting Akshay's birdie, they lapped the field. I mean, 11 under was third place.
Absolute insanity. You know, the crazy thing about the whole thing was that the fact that Akshay is winning the entire weekend, right? He's trying to go wire to wire, and yet it's him who needs to make a putt to force the playoff at the end, not Denny McCarthy. And he was so pumped up by the fact that he made that putt that he dislocated his shoulder.
Yeah.
which is fantastic stuff. He might need to put on a little bit of weight and maybe a little bit of muscle mass so that he can maybe keep his joints intact here a little bit. But I mean, it was an amazing Sunday. It was an amazing weekend, you know.
Yeah.
Denny McCarthy, man, like seven straight birdies to force that playoff. Seven straight.
What, the last nine holes he birdied?
Yeah, guys going off. And it was just absolute heartbreaking. I don't know about you, but I was sitting there, jaw dropped when Denny hit that, what was it, like 74-yard shot or something like that?
Yeah.
Straight into the water. I'm like, whoo. And we were texting at that time too, but it's like, oh my God, what happened?
I was talking with some guys Monday about the whole tournament and stuff. And I said, well, if you looked close where Denny's ball was on that shot, there was a sand filled divot right in front of his ball. And you couldn't tell if it was right up against his ball or maybe he was on it, but he got super steep, which, you know, is going to make you chunk it. And then somebody pointed out, it looked like he was trying to hit maybe like some sort of like flight it down and then just got really steep and chunked it. Cause he's like, sometimes if you get steep, like, you know, maybe he was in between lob wedge and sand wedge for that distance and just tried to go full lob and then bad news, but poor Denny just can't get a win. I mean, that's two tournaments that he's lost in playoffs. He loses to Ricky at the Travelers and then he loses, or at Rocket. And then he loses this week. But I mean, the guy's been playing solid for the last 18 months. So
he has, and he was absolute lightning on the greens. I mean, he just stepped up to putts on Sunday, especially, and you just knew it was going in. You could see the confidence rolling off his shoulders the entire time, and it was a lot of fun to watch that. You know, to see that kind of competition and that kind of just that vibe going on a Sunday just makes it even better this week, now that we start getting into the Masters here. You picking a big winner last week, you know, with Akshay, and you know, I didn't pick the winner, obviously, but you know, picking
Spieth,
my boy Jordan Spieth, hitting plus 240 in the top 10, and Keith Mitchell, told you he's going to come back and play well.
He played really well.
I had him as a top 20 at plus 280, and he finished T14 along with Alex Noren, who honestly, he should have been a top 10. And he just kind of faltered there a little bit late, you know, and you said it yourself too, right before Sunday started. It was like, I don't think Noren can do what he did Saturday again. And yeah. He couldn't. But he tried to make a little push there in the middle of rounds and in the middle of the round, but just didn't have enough in the tank to get him inside the top 10, which would have been really nice to hit him at plus 320 top 10. And I felt really confident about him doing it, but just didn't quite have enough.
How about Erica before the round started saying, you think Denny can go low round of the day? And I was like,
yeah,
I think so, maybe. And I said, what about Rory? So
at 35-1.
Yeah. And I'm watching and I'm like, oh shit, Rory's tied. So he's going to get low round of the day. And then Denny birdies the last three to take it. And I was like, oh, Eric's saving his basketball bets for the week, because that was crazy for him to just say, what do you think about Denny? I mean, he's always got those good Sunday. Like, what do you think about this guy? And it's most of the time they hit. So that was pretty good.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, I can't say enough about the Valero is always good, man.
Yeah.
Every year. It's so good. Cause guys are getting amped up, ready for the Masters, and you get the new guys who are trying to make a name for themselves, or the guys who haven't been playing well lately, all of a sudden they're doing some things. And, you know, I'll tell you, Eric was talking a lot of shit in our text messaging group earlier today about, oh, Jordan Spieth to miss the cut. And I don't even know what his odds were, plus 450 or something like that. But the numbers tell you a lot differently with how he's playing right now. Yeah. And you know how he plays at Augusta.
Yeah. I mean, they asked him in his presser today and he said, you know, I've come in here missing the cut and played well. I've come in here, you know, off of a playoff loss and played well. So he's like, it's just a different. Tom Watson said today, it's a different course. Everybody said, you know, it's a different course. It's just, it doesn't really matter how you're playing. Like, you want to be playing well, but the craziest thing I heard today was when somebody said, they asked Scottie Scheffler, like, what are you working on? And he said, nothing. And they're like, well, what do you mean? He's like, I'm not working on anything. I'm just practicing. They were like, so, you know, everybody's got some kind of hitch in their game right now. And he's the only guy that's like, just not working on anything. He's just playing his game and it's
right.
Killing it.
Well, I bet I can tell you one thing that Scotty's working on is trying to figure out what his newborn baby's bedroom is going to look like here. That's definitely something I wanted to bring up and talk about too. So I think it's
him and Sam Burns,
right? They're both within 1 to 2 weeks of their due date.
Yeah.
And they both said that they would withdraw from the tournament.
Yeah. But
if that were the case, so
we've had this happen before. Spieth, I think maybe at a major, we've had somebody during a Ryder Cup, and there's no way if Scotty's round two leader by four shots, he gets the call or his wife's even going to call him. I mean, they're going to give him something to hold that berth off if they can. Because,
I mean,
there's no way. If you being his wife and knowing, I mean, how they are, she wouldn't call him. I don't think she would make the call.
You don't think so?
Nah. I mean, what if it's hole 16 or hole 15 or hole 10 of the back nine and he's got a four shot lead? You think she calls him? She's at the hospital about to give, you know, like on her way to the hospital. Because he's not going to make it there in time. In labor and goes to the hospital.
It's true. He's not going to.
Best case on a private jet. He's 45 minutes to the airport and on a plane that's ready. And then maybe hour 45 in a private jet to DF, you know, Dallas small airport. And then 45 minutes with no traffic to the airport. That's 4 or 5 hours. Like, you know, as well as I know, 4 or 5 hours, isn't enough time.
No, it's not. For sure. Yeah. I'm not going to comment too much about that for the sake of my marriage. Although my three kids are already born and I am not having another one. Thank you very much.
Your wife wouldn't call you if you were winning the Masters. No way. Yeah. My wife would not even, there's no way. She's in the other room. I could ask her and she would say, if you're about to win the Masters, no way.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of really good stories. You listen to a lot of the pressers today. I know that's your main thing that you love to do every single year, especially for the majors. You know, and the Masters is something special. And, you know, so what did you hear on the live lines of all these pressers today?
They seem to be real big on Åberg and Clark. I mean, they feel like Clark plays a difficult course as well. He's ready to win. They keep giving Xander a lot, or not. Yeah. Xander, a lot of, not Xander. I get the two mixed up, but a lot of grief for not winning. Not saying, I can't think of the other guy's name. Anyways, they interviewed Fred. They interviewed Tiger, or Tiger was yesterday, I guess, but they interviewed Fred and he said, he's hitting it perfect. I mean, he's like, he's flushing it. And he said, the last thing he's thinking about is coming here to make the cut. Cause if he makes the cut, he breaks Freddie's record for the most consecutive cuts. He said, I just watched him play nine holes and he never missed a single shot. He's like, he's here to win. And they asked Tiger and he kind of gave that same response in 19. Like, it, you know, if I can, if all the pieces fall together just right, there's no reason I can't. The sixth one.
And it's just, it's really hard, you know, being on the, from a betting standpoint, it's really hard to really take a deep dive and even consider anything Tiger Woods related. You know, everybody and their brother wants him to be Tiger Woods again. And, you know, the game is just that much better when he's in peak form. I'm not even thinking about him making the cut. I just, him being able to walk the course four times seems,
he's definitely come impossible. Back to practice. I mean, Rory just got there today, did a 20-minute presser and then went to practice. He said, I don't know why I keep coming here on Monday or Sunday when I go to a normal tournament on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah. So I don't understand why guys do that either. Right. Because they
there 2 weeks ago or the week, or he was there on the week before the last week's tournament. So
they have their routines and you don't want to mess that up. I feel,
yeah,
you know, myself, even in the coaching world of things, right. Like myself, I'm very routine oriented. You know, even I am minute to minute with practices. I am same thing, doing the same things, prepare for games. And, you know, on the day of a game, you know, it's just, this has to go this way or it's going to throw you all off. Right. So I don't know why they come, like, what is the point of those guys coming that much earlier? Like, wouldn't they want to take the extra couple days there just to get right, especially after playing the week before? You know, I don't know.
I mean, I think a lot of guys get there and they overthink it. Like the longer you're there before, it's like the more you're thinking about the event, the more you're thinking about the event. And then you end up stretching your practice out where you're playing nine holes Monday or chipping Monday, nine holes Tuesday, nine holes Wednesday. Instead of getting there, just playing 18 Tuesday, go to the par three Wednesday, hit the short game area, especially if you've already gone on two or three recon trips in the last 3 months or 2 months, whatever. There's no sense in like almost dragging out the week because that just makes you more tired. The more you're there, the more you're subject to interviews, autographs, people, like just the stress of being there. Like, you know, it's not like a normal tournament where you could probably go to a local restaurant and just like sit there and have dinner. Everybody's there to watch the Masters. Like you're going to get bombarded with people, you know?
Right. There are people that, you know, take 2 weeks off of work just to go down there and they're partying for a week and a half before and just the amount of people that are going to be around and the buzz, right? Like you walk in, you even around anywhere else in the country, even in the world, right? It's Masters Week, man.
Yeah.
It's Masters Week. Like that's all anybody talks about. And even people who aren't really golf fans, they know it's the Masters this weekend. Yeah. So it's to me, like, from a mental side of things, I think this is I would be sitting there trying to make sure that I am on point with my routine and staying with it rather than changing things just because it's a major.
Yeah. I can understand if you're like going to the Open Championship to where you have to get your body adjusted to a time change. Like that's a big deal, but those guys are there 2-3 weeks before anyways, playing the Scottish and going home and other little things, but yeah, obviously if it's your first time, you want to get as many reps as you can, but
correct.
Half these guys that are coming out of college are going to play courses they've never seen. They show up the day before, play one practice round and they get into it. And it's, why do that any different? You know, guys aren't going to TPC Deer Run on Monday and getting, you know, four practice rounds in or going to
right
you know, the Players Championship, half those guys are flying in, you know, the week before, even for the Arnold Palmer, I think, you know, they have the Seminole Pro-Am. These guys are playing a 2-day Pro-Am, then flying over to Orlando, like the next day, the day before, playing nine holes and calling it good. So if you've played in the Masters for 15 years, there's no reason to just get there and grind for a week.
That's true. I mean, yeah, those first timer guys, they're probably coming. They're all excited and they're trying to really, you know, drink it in. Like they're trying to eat it all up, man. Like you walk on property and bam, like even the guys that have been there a million times, they talk about when you walk on property, it's just different.
That's what some of the old guys like Watson and Larry Mize and them say, you know, like it's almost too much when you get there, like just the overload of being there, not playing golf. So
I would think about the number of years it's been since Larry Mize has won the Masters, right? And he still, every single year, I saw an interview of him talking about it. He's just like, man, when you, that place is just something about it.
I would almost think, you know, like, you know, if you're going to play on tour as a college student, maybe you go try to get tickets and go 3 or 4 times just to get over the, I'm at Augusta, I got to go to the merch tent, I got to do this, I got to go see Amen Corner, all the stuff, like get all of the spectator shit out of the way. That way, when you actually get to the tournament, it's like, okay, well, I'm just here to play golf. I've already seen everything cool there's to see. So some of the players, think Dunlap said he had been there in college. So a bunch of the guys have actually played there, you know, when they're in college with donors and the way they have donor rules now, it's like you can fly your, you know, alma mater's college team to Augusta and play around without getting the NCAA up your ass.
Yeah. A little bit different now for sure.
Yeah.
You know, before we get into the actual course things and everything, you want to talk a little bit about any of the groupings or tee times and stuff like that. I know one thing that you brought up earlier today to talk about was Brooks Koepka and his
So
everybody that knows, right, I'll let you talk about it in a second, but everybody that knows anything about Brooks Koepka is he does not like to play slow. And do you think this is a jab at Brooks?
No,
him together, or is it just random?
I think it's random, but you know, like Augusta posted a thing and it's been going online about the pairings, and it's like Augusta Nationals know how much Brooks hates slow play, so what do they do? Pair him with the guy that club waggles 14 times before each shot, Brian Harman.
I can't stand watching it myself and on TV. And the fact that Brooks is gonna be up close and personal with that makes me like the amount of anxiety that's going to be risen with Brooks Koepka having to watch that over and over again, he's going to flip out. How many times is he just going to walk away and just start walking up the fairway?
Well, I mean, he had to deal with that last year with slow play playing with Rahm that final round because they were waiting on groups and groups and groups. And
right.
If it's super firm and fast, every par five, you're going to be on a 45-minute wait to tee off. Because every guy's – so the first group's going to go for it too. As soon as they get on, the second guy's going to be in the fairway. Well, they're going to stay in there for 30 minutes, and then it's just going to keep backing up. And it's every par five, if it's firm and fast, are going to be brutal.
Does a guy and other guys similar to Brooks and how they love like fast pace of play, do they get disinterested and thrown off mentally and all of a sudden now their game suffers?
I mean, if you're – I think it comes down to who you're paired with. Like if you're paired with a guy that can just chit chat about random stuff, like it's fine. But you know,
but if you're paired with Patrick Cantlay, might be a little different.
Or, you know, if you had Bryson and Brooks paired together, like they're not going to have much to talk about.
No.
Or live guys, you know, with tour guys that just hate each other, you know, like, but I think all the players are pretty cordial. So it's not going to be a huge thing if it's
and overall, like outside of the big names, you know, I don't think that there's a whole lot of hatred between the PGA Tour guys and the LIV guys. I think that is very media driven, and I think a lot of those guys still talk to each other and even hang out at certain points when they're able to. So I don't buy a whole lot into that stock there. But
if you've got like groupings like Lucas Glover's playing with Harris English, I think they're buddies from, you know, college days. So. They're playing with Benyon Hanan, so I don't know if he speaks any English, so that could be a rough grouping.
Yeah, that's a bit of a barrier as well.
I would imagine Phil and Tony Finau are going to have a lot to talk about because Phil has a lot to talk about everything.
Right.
Let's see. What's another one? Cantlay, Ricky Fowler, and Minwoo Lee. I think Cantlay and Fowler are pretty cordial as far as like playing Ryder Cups and stuff.
Yeah, that's actually kind of a cool grouping there. Minwoo Lee seems like a pretty chill dude.
Yeah. Hideki, Will Zalatoris, and Justin Thomas. Like, Hideki's not going to have anything to talk about. But Will and JT would have a good time.
Yeah.
I thought a good grouping I did see was the John Rahm, Fitzpatrick, Dunlap group, because Dunlap is fiery and he can get it out there, if not farther than Rahm can. So
yeah.
Scotty Xander and Rory.
It's a great one.
Wyndham Clark, Victor, and Cam Smith. That could be a little awkward with Wyndham Clark being a hardcore PJ loyalist and a Cam Smith, but
yes, as outspoken as Wyndham's been about that stuff, right? He's even talked about, he's the guy that's talked about wanting to even cut down like the number of guys on each tournament too. Yeah, that's
well, I mean, when you're not winning, you want the less fields.
It's true.
Let's see if there's any other good ones. There's really not much. Fred Couples and Stuart Hagestad, who's won like a million amateur events, and seems like every year he's playing in this tournament. He probably has more rounds than Freddie does at this course. Akshay, JT Poston, and Shane Lowry. So our two long shot guys playing together, JT and Akshay.
Yeah.
I think, they kind of talked about today, Akshay, about his chances being a first timer with the way he plays the ball. But, you know, then he said, I don't want to get too much into it, but the lefty effect, where lefties have a huge advantage at this course. And if you think about it, like, it's a kid that moves that big fade. And every time Phil won, what did he do? Move that big fade. Bubba Watson. You don't want to say that it favors lefties, but I think the way they've set trees up in the bunkering now, it does favor lefties to hit that big, huge fade. Whereas now the right-handers are all playing fades, so they're putting the trouble where the right-handers are getting more into the shit.
Mm-hmm.
It plays away from everything. And then, you know, you're playing that big sweeping fade on the long par five on aim and corner. Well, if you hit up on that hill high enough by the pine straw where Phil's usually at, that thing will run down 100 yards because the fairway has so much tilt to it.
Yeah, and that's wild. Do you think there's anything that we need to be concerned about? Like if anybody's on Akshay this weekend, for him to even, you know, potentially place even inside the top 20 or top 10.
Doesn't seem to get tired. He's 22. He doesn't seem to get tired. And he said in his press conference that it happens quite often that his shoulder pops out. We talked about this Monday that at the event that somebody said that guy needs to put on some muscle, you know, and get stronger. And somebody said, no, he doesn't need to, and the guy that was saying he doesn't need to is pretty good instructor. It's like, from an instructor standpoint, if he starts putting on muscle and weight, that's his swing's going to totally change. And then it could cause, with that swing, he could have really, you know, a lot of back troubles.
Maybe potentially some issues that Tiger had.
Yeah. I mean, he's 22 and he weighs 150 pounds and he's like 6'4".
He weighs 130 pounds.
I mean,
I think he's listed at 6'2", 133. That's nothing.
Why would you put on muscle? If you're winning, that's the last thing you want to do is go to the gym. You might do some leg work, but you're not going and throwing up weights.
I think for him, especially his body makeup and everything, I think maintaining his flexibility is a really big deal.
Yeah, because you take away your flexibility, it's, you know, that's a lot less ball speed, you know.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know. We want to get into talking about some course facts and a little bit of that stuff. Yeah. You know, I mean, I know a lot of people that are listening to the show probably know a lot about Augusta already, but I think that it's never hurts to always look at kind of the course layouts and everything, you know, and compare it to other courses and, you know, some places like, and the fact that it's almost 7,600 yards that they're going to be playing from, that's monstrous. And just hearing the yardage of 7,555 yards, is pretty immense.
Yeah, they pushed the tee back on two, so the bunker on the right's more in play.
Mm-hmm.
I think on that hole, pushing the tee back, if you look at the aerial, the widest spot of the fairway is now where they're going to be landing instead of landing farther down that slope. So Tiger briefed on that today about the changes, and he said the first time he had played there in what, 97 or he said he hit like on a practice round, he hit like sand wedge into every green on a par four. And now you can't do that. So, I mean, the length's definitely been been a big factor of the course, but.
Yeah. So, I mean, moving forward with other things, like you're talking third fewest bunkers, on tour here, you know, within the PGA Tour, like you're only talking about 44 bunkers and there's not much water danger holes, but some of the water danger, you know, people are very familiar with some water danger holes like on the course. Guys that have gone in there and that have made a big deal for where they place for the weekend type thing.
Especially on 12.
Yep. That's exactly what I was kind of pointing to there. Difficulty rank ranks as like the fifth toughest course. So, you know, you're talking top five hardest course on tour. Bent grass greens, you know, you're talking about ryegrass in the fairways. As far as green sizes go, it's pretty much middle of the pack. But Augusta greens are a little bit different than a lot of other places that on tour that you're playing. And you're talking about the stimp meter being anywhere from 12 all the way to 15 this weekend.
And
12 tilt, to 15 and tilt. Yeah, absolutely.
It's crazy amount of tilt. Like people, I always tell people like, you don't understand. I was just texting my buddy today who's going to the Masters this weekend or tomorrow. And I said, make sure you're, you know, don't drink too much because it's a lot of walking. Like it's really hilly. The TV doesn't know justice. Like on one, like when you stand there in person and see the slope down from one, you're like, holy shit, that's a long ways down. There's a lot of slope from the top of the golf course down to the bottom. So there's, and all the greens have massive amounts of tilt. Like I would say 80% of golfers never experience greens with that much slope and that much speed ever. Casual golfers, maybe 2%. Not a lot.
What's up, Game On Podcast, man? What he's like, what's up, everyone? We're talking some Masters golf, man. This is a lot of fun. This is one of my favorite weeks of the year, you know, and my background obviously has been basketball for a long time, but golf is definitely near and dear to me. So this week is a lot of fun. And talking about the course itself, I always like mentioning some courses that are similar that they compare this, you know, every course every week to, and letting you kind of speak on it a little bit, Adam. So let me mention a few here. Quail Hollow.
Yeah.
Muirfield Village.
Yeah.
You got the Riviera. I thought of the Riviera right away too. That was like kind of very similar. Bay Hill and Firestone.
Yeah, that's every course that Tiger's dominated is what it's like. I mean, think about it. What's he have, like 8 wins at Bay Hill, 8 wins at Muirfield, 8 or 9 at Firestone. For, you know, I mean, clearly Tiger loves these Jack style courses, and Muirfield obviously because Jack, you know, built it as his homage to Augusta. So, it's pretty cool. I mean, there is other courses that are supposedly very similar that people don't see, from what I've been told, like Paso Tiempo in California, Pine Valley, but you know, different courses. There's probably some more courses in the Augusta area that are very similar too. So
for those of you that are tuning in for the first time, maybe you've been able to catch on that Adam is a big time Tiger lover. I do too. I love Tiger as well, but Adam is really holding out hope that Tiger's going to turn shit around here pretty soon. And he's going to start playing. I won't take too many shots at Adam because I know that he brings those shots back at a certain person that I like to bet on all the time. But we'll get to that in a little bit here. So, do we want to start rolling into some picks here, or
we can? Yeah, just because it might take a while.
Yeah, for sure. I got plenty to say about some guys for sure. So,
Adam, Smitty, how you guys doing? The voice behind the curtain.
Yeah.
What is up, Will? So Game On Podcast just threw us $100. Thank you, Will.
Nice.
He says, boys, I got five kids, two 2-month-old twin boy baby girls, because they just had twins. They also have a 1-year-old and a 2-year-old boys and just had twin baby girls and a 13-year-old daughter. I need some winners to pay for these diapers. Let's hear it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, he's a big fan of Bubba. I don't know if Bubba's going to do well this week. It is Augusta, and you don't have to play well going in, but he hasn't played hardly at all since the last Masters. He's an honorary captain over on Live, so be interesting to see how he does.
For sure. You know,
those guys showed a lot of rust last week at the Live event. I looked at the scores, and I was like, whoa, there were some real big scores. And as a Nick Faldo took a jab at them, and he said, you know, you guys have been playing resort courses for the last 6 months, so it's a little bit different when you come to Augusta.
I should probably also say really quick while we have Will, this is his channel. So the Game On, we're on Game On's channel right now. He's a pharmacist. He ran home from the pharmacy and set it up for us.
Appreciate that, Will.
Yeah, appreciate that, Will, a lot, man. I'm excited to be here and doing the show on Rumble. It's always a lot of fun to get the interaction from people.
Really quick, we got some people watching. Why don't you guys kind of real quick take 2 minutes and kind of explain who you guys are? Because nobody's going to know you, and we've been kind of building a community over here. It's been about you guys haven't been on since last golf season, so
yeah.
Adam, kind of share who you are and how this kind of happened.
Yeah, so
not
I'm
a podcast, but how you got to be a golfer?
Oh yeah, so I've been a golfer pretty much my whole life, but I'm a PGA professional. I've worked at several courses in Colorado, Oklahoma, Illinois, Iowa, Wisconsin. So I've been around and been in the golf business for, geez, almost 30 years now. And I love golf. I just happened to be, came on a couple years ago with Chris and those guys on Patriot Sports. And he asked me if I wanted to come on. We've been friends since, way back in the day, and asked me if I wanted to come on for a Masters special and pick Scottie Scheffler as the outright winner. And after he'd already won 3 events, like almost in a row. And that's how Plus Money got started. And he kind of kicked it over, said, hey, I got another guy I know who's a looper. So we me and Smitty met on a first show that we did together. It was crazy.
We still haven't met in person. And we've been doing this show now for a third season. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been crazy. So for myself, you know, I've been working as a caddy at Erin Hills for the last 10 seasons or so. I believe it's 10 seasons. And got to work the US Open in 2017 when it was here in Wisconsin. It was a lot of fun. you know, I coach golf for about 5 years in high school, at the high school level. Made a couple trips to state not because of me as a coach, but because of a couple players I've had. My full-time job is a teacher, and I also coach basketball at the high school level. So I've kind of been grinding away at that stuff and just love athletics in general. And golf is definitely something near and dear to me. And, I look forward to Tuesday nights at 8 or 9 PM every single week. And it's a lot of fun. But I'm just glad that we've been able to give some good content to people, and hopefully people love the show. And we're still out here grinding for you guys every week. We put in a lot of work at this, and we've been pretty successful. Obviously, you know, it's kind of a put up or shut up type thing. Well, last week, you know, we hit a big odds guy win the tournament. So I don't think I think people are starting to maybe recognize what we're doing on the show, and we're having a lot of fun.
Scream
doing
that
as well.
Shit from the mountains, Smitty.
I mean, we've picked outright winners. I think the first year we did 11 of 15, and last year we were like 11 of 17 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And
we do okay, boys.
We're not talking about the, mm-hmm. you know, every name household guys that we're picking these guys that we tend to see that we follow that aren't as popular, like the JT Poston at John Deere at 90 to one.
Hell yeah. That was sick. That's where it all really started, right?
Yeah. I mean,
it was after the Masters that Adam, the very first show we ever did, Adam made Eric E of shit is see you in here a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
So yes, the only way to call this was plus money golf. I mean, there was nothing else to call it because these guys find the fucking dirty shit, the shit in the garbage that's underneath the tampon that your grandma threw in there, and bringing out the plus 1500 and landing on the table and winning.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, that very first golf season that we were on for the show, rode Eric all the way through the football season, making sure he had enough money to bet on his football.
And he's bad at football, ladies and gentlemen. It was a lot of money.
Yeah, we helped him out this week from a bad bets he had during the week with that Denny McCarthy plus 3,500 on final round low score. I didn't expect him to see that or him to do that, but that was nuts.
Chris is by far the best hype man I've ever seen, man. He's great. Will, man, you definitely got that right for sure. Let's start talking about some golf picks here, man. We've been talking for 35 minutes here already, and we got to give the people what they really want. They're listening around for some golf picks here, so yes,
they can quit their jobs.
Yeah, man, that'd be great. I'd love to quit my job too.
If Tiger wins, you would be able to if you bet it.
I mean, you're not wrong. That's for sure. I can start off with my top 20s here. So I'm going to start right away. You already mentioned his name once tonight, but I'm starting with Nick Dunlap at plus 650. That's a pretty big bet for me to come off with. I don't normally go that deep into it, but he's somebody that is a young kid and what is he, 20 years old? Just turned pro, right?
Yeah, so, he's played 2 years in college.
Yeah, so I mean, first time Masters guy. Okay, like I mean, obviously, I'm not looking for him to win, but I mean, he's a guy that has the ability to play well here, I think.
And he's already won this year.
Yeah, So the things that I look and really got me, I'm a numbers guy. Everybody knows that, right? Like I really look at that stuff. His short time on tour. Okay, he ranks number one in fewest putts, number two in par five scoring, and top 10 in driving distance. Those are all big things this weekend. He hasn't put it in as far as finishes go on tour yet. He hasn't had any, like he hasn't been like super hot or consistent right that way. But I mean, you want a lottery ticket guy. If you want, I mean, what is he? I think he's like 350 to one.
So stupid,
but I mean, the fact I'm taking him plus 650, top 20, staying with a hot hand, going over to Denny McCarthy at plus 230. I do think that there's something to be said about the balls lie there in that playoff, like Adam said, and hopefully didn't frazzle him too much, and he's going to come and play really well and hopefully sneak into the top 20.
He's putting well anyways.
Yeah, for sure. And that's always going to help you. I have Mr. Consistent at Augusta, Patrick Reed.
Oh,
P Reed at plus 200.
That's top 20. That's not how I thought you meant.
Then I have Shane Lowry at plus 150. I think he's been top 25 his last four Masters. So he's playing
a top 20 last year.
Is that where I forget what he was? Yeah, last
you had him last year at a top 20.
At a top 20.
Yeah, I think because I just looked at that earlier to see what he finished last year. He finished
last year.
T16.
T16, yep, just got to it. Yeah, so I like him a lot this weekend. I think that he has a shot to play really, really well, and I'm excited for it. Then to round things off, I have Tony Finau at plus 130. Kind of coming into his own right now, has been playing really well the last few weeks, and that's what we're looking for, right? We're looking for guys who are hot right now and guys that are starting to trend in the right direction. I feel like he's a guy there. So Tony Finau rounds out my top 20 at plus 130. So Dunlap, McCarthy, Reed, and Lowry, and Finau.
What was Lowry at?
Lowry is at plus 150.
He didn't even take any long shots. I got a lot, couple.
I got, I mean, plus that. 650 is a long shot.
Pretty good for you. I mean,
that's pretty good.
You did one that was like an 1800 or something, which I was shocked. If people don't listen a lot, Smitty's the more conservative better, and I'm the more let's just go for broke every bet. So that's the way I live my life. So, you know, you might as well.
So we got before you get going, we got Robocon 911 says Scheffler, and that's the win. Yeah, obviously everybody's gonna be on Scheffler. A lot of people are gonna be on Scheffler, yeah. But that's probably why he's plus what? I don't even know. Plus
450.
450 to win. Come on.
I mean, that's
you're not gonna make much money doing that.
Yeah. I think if you can get
let me interrupt you real quick. Because Eric and I just had a conversation earlier this afternoon, and he took Scheffler like in 18 different parlays. He's got him tied to the Packers winning the North, the Packers over whatever the wins were for the season. He's got a tie to the Rangers run line tomorrow. He's got a tie to so many different weird, but he had him tied to UConn. So UConn already finished that one. Yeah. That's what he did with that.
Until he withdraws to go be a dad on Friday afternoon.
That ain't happening.
It ain't happening. Not at that level, right?
I mean,
they're not doing that at that level, right, Adam?
Maybe
not at that level.
Your wife's not calling you at that level. Because that's the thing.
But he might if it's Friday. He might if it's Friday. He'd be like, oh, whatever.
That's a lot of money.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if your wife goes into labor, logistically, the fastest you can get there is maybe 5 hours.
Yeah. Like, we don't need to go back.
Do anything anyways. You're not going to do anything for the first 24 hours.
He's not a doctor. I don't think he graduated college. So, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Play the damn tournament, Scotty.
Game on podcast says Matsuyama and Rom. I like that. Matsuyama definitely played really well last week. So that's a really good bet.
I agree.
Let me go into my top 20s here.
I like where your head's at, Will.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna jump in here because now I'm having fun.
I'll save one of these for last, but I got Keegan Bradley at 360, just because I think he's still fiery about the whole Netflix thing, not getting in the Ryder Cup, you know, with the TV show, and they bring the camera crew to his house to tell him he's not making the team. So I think he wins the Masters. He's definitely getting on the President's Cup team, which would get him on the Ryder Cup team.
Mm-hmm.
I got Stuart Hagstad at 3,500 for a top 20. The dude's played here a million times. So I think he's probably the best chance for an amateur. I looked at the amateurs and I didn't recognize any of them from college or whatever. So I thought, you know, he's probably the best bet. Then I got Dunlap also at 650 because the dude's got game. Uh-oh, and then
we're aligning there a little bit. I like
it. I know. And then I got Batia at 225 just because he's a lefty. I mean, I almost put him into a top 10 because I think he's being a lefty. It's a huge advantage. And the dude's putting well, he's figured out his chipping. He's a great iron player, but the way he striped that driver between last week and the week before,
yeah,
total difference. I think, you know, and he's played seven. This is his seventh event in a row, I think is what they said. He's playing the next 2 weeks. He's in the premier event next week. And then he's playing the week after. So he's clearly doesn't get tired. And then, you know, my last one was Tiger at 330 for a top 20. Yeah. I think if he makes the cut, you got to consider him. If
he makes the cut, he's got a shot. You have to consider it. I agree with you 100%.
I think if he makes the
cut, you can't watch the Masters and not have a sprinkle of American currency on Tiger Woods this week.
I mean, I watched him hitting balls today and he got into a rhythm where he was just striping driver.
God, you do this to me every year, Adam. Every year.
He was just piping it. And he, like, before the ball even landed, he was telling his caddy, like, give me another one. He was like, looked like Steph Curry shooting threes out there. He was just like, let me have it. So, I mean, I'm sprinkling money on Tiger for win, top 10 and top 20, because I honestly, personally, I think this could, I think Adam, there's so much hype on everybody else that he could happen.
Adam, if it's Sunday and Tiger is in the lead and he pulls up that driver on T1 with a red polo and you don't have at least $5 American on it, you're going to kick yourself in the ass. You'll turn it off. You can't watch it. It would be sickening to watch if you don't have $5 American on it.
You would bet whatever the odds were, and you would still watch it because
But you better just stick it right now.
It's like a Jordan comeback game.
Now. Yeah, put your $5 now. You'll get great. What are the odds right now? Did you
14,000 to 1 to win.
$100 wins you, well, like a quarter of a new car. God, it used to be a new car.
Hey, Will obviously doesn't know me well enough because we'll get to Spieth. Don't worry. Because he asked in the chat, what do we think about Spieth? I'll let you know.
Oh, you'll get a whole Spieth deal.
You'll hear about Spieth. All right. Well, we want to get to top 10s here. So for my top 10, I am going Shane Lowry at plus 360. Guys got the tools. I know you've heard this from me in years past for different tournaments and everything. And, you know, I just think that Shane Lowry definitely is a guy who has the capability to just continue to play at a high level. And I think that he has a chance to do that this weekend. I have Sahith Theegala at plus 400, top 10. I don't think, you know, he played really well here last year. Yeah. Had a really nice showing, and he's playing, you know, top tier golf this year as well. And I think he's a guy that definitely has a chance to sneak in the top 10. But I think he's a guy. I don't have him to win. I just don't think that he's ready for that yet. Maybe he is. But plus 400, I thought was really good. It just kept sticking out to me that it was plus 400 for him to be top 10. I have Tony Finau at plus 320. Again, I already explained him. I think he's playing some good golf, and I think that he's kind of peaking at the right time here. Then I have Joaquin Niemann at plus 230. This guy is balling right now. Like, he is balling. He's got
more worldwide wins than a lot of guys do.
I know. It's crazy. He's really coming on.
He's smashing it on the LIV Tour and won the Australian, won Asian Tour. I mean, he's a LIV player that wasn't exempt that got an invitation from Augusta. So clearly they think he's worthy to be there.
I was reading multiple articles about him, and they mentioned him just being white hot right now. Like, that's how well he's playing. So I'm excited about watching him play. I was actually a little disappointed when he did go to LIV. I enjoyed watching his game.
You know, they said if he hadn't gone to LIV, he would probably be the guy that's him and Scotty went and every, you know, like contending with Scotty every week. And they used Joaquin Niemann as a prime example to really bash Taylor Gooch even more on live TV today, saying this guy did it. He was a LIV player that wasn't exempt. And instead of sitting on his couch and crying and playing his 12 events, he went out and did the work. He played DP Tour events. He played DP Asian Tour. He played Australian events. He played wherever he could play to get world rankings and wins. That's what he did. Taylor Gooch wants to sit there with his thumb in his ass and bitch about,
yeah,
they should invite me because I'm good. Dude, you haven't done shit in a major that you played in. You didn't do shit when you're on tour. So get out there and earn it.
Yeah, to give some people a little bit of context here about Joaquin, you know, he finished T16 last year, which was his best at Augusta. He has what, four appearances, I believe. But he finished T4 in Dubai in January, third in, how do you say it, Oman in February. Late last year, he finished fifth in the Australian PGA Championship and then won the Australian Open. He's joined a list of like some really good golfers, you know, to join that list or whatever, right? With like, you know, you got like Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, Tom Watson, those kind of guys, right? Like this guy, I think it has a really good shot to win this thing this weekend.
For sure. He's a baller.
And then last but not least at plus 190, I have Jordan Spieth, the top 10. Okay. There he is. Jordan Spieth is playing some really good golf right now, and I don't care like if you're a Spieth hater or lover or whatever. This guy is a really good golfer, and he shows up in big moments.
Last week before, not good.
But he shows up in big moments. Okay, his 10 trips. Okay, to the Masters.
I said Augusta's the outlier for him.
Right. He has top five 6 times in 10 trips. All right, including a win. Right. He's shown that he's got distance off the tee. He's got some iron play, and he has a short game. Okay, that always seems to all of a sudden renew him. Right at Augusta.
Yep.
He's coming off a top 10, and say what you want to say. I don't think he played all that well last week. Right. I mean, he's hitting balls off the top of the clubhouse roof. Well, he did it on purpose, but
yeah,
he's still doing it. Right. But, you know, coming in, right. His driving and accuracy hasn't been as bad as, what it once was. Right. So he's kind of, and then the wide fairways at Augusta is only going to help him. Right.
I mean, plus he has probably the best short game of any player in the modern era.
Guy's insane, right? He's right now in the field. You know, he's ranked 4th in the field for strokes gained off the tee. 15th out of what? Out of 90 guys, 15th in driving accuracy. He was 18th in last week's field for strength for strokes gained approach, and 37th in putting. I just think that he is trending in the right direction, and he is like almost. He's almost more at home at Augusta than he is in Texas when he's playing. So give me some Jordan Spieth in the top 10 at plus 190. Easy money. Let's roll on to the next one.
All right. My top 10s. I've got a dangerous Denny McCarthy at 650. Cause I just think he's that good. And then person we haven't talked about really at all in a long time. Dustin Johnson at 330 for a top 10.
I was looking at
quietly goes about his business, shows up at Augusta, probably do a presser tomorrow. Just low key plays this course really well, and he can hit the ball both directions. I did go with Justin Thomas at 360 just because I didn't want to pick Spieth. So I had to pick JT's been playing with Tiger and Freddie all week. So maybe he's trying to learn something. And then Åberg at 260. He's good. He's got the game. And then also another player we haven't talked about, Bryson DeChambeau at 300.
Oh, I hate him so much though.
I do, but man, the guy's putting up scores on Liv, like, and he can play anywhere. I mean, he's probably got, I think, one of the most complete games of the Liv guys right now, because he can play anywhere. I mean, he's playing municipal courses and shooting 50, whatever, with good guys. And then he goes out with this person. And, you know, like, he's actually doing other stuff besides just hitting ranged balls, which I think personally helps you, because if you go to a course and play, let's say he's playing with, you know, the good guys or wherever, these social media influence golfers, and they're playing the red tees trying to break 50 or whatever on 18 holes, that gets you into a whole different type of game. Cause I mean, he's not hitting drive every hole. He's having to play from different positions. So he's learning awkward shots by doing these fun things, which is what a lot of players do. Or, you know, you get your buddies and you go out and play like red tee challenge with 3 clubs, just get you used to hitting different shots. So he's shot in sub 60 a few times recently. So I think he's great. He's great. And it's a major. So he's a big time major guy like Brooks.
Yep. You're not wrong.
Could be, but I just like him. Not personally.
Yeah. I'd have to, rethink some opinions on you if you actually personally liked Bryson. I don't know.
Well, I don't hate the guy, but
he's just seen for me. He just seems like a
goofball,
complete square. And I like, he's like, all right, no one else is right. It's just me. I'm right about everything.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I get it.
So you got the question. Will Lefty run it back again this year?
Which one? You know,
I think he's talking about the old Phil? Man, Phil.
I think he's done. Yeah, I mean, it is Augusta. And like they said, Augusta's timeless as far as like players. favors lefties. I would not pick him to be even the low lefty. Yeah. I would pick Brian Harmon or Akshay to be the best lefty this week.
I would too. There's some, yeah, between those two right there that you just mentioned, I mean, those guys are
on a different level.
Yeah, they're head over heels.
I mean,
better golfers.
Phil's even hinted. He has a completely new caddy this week. His brother's been on the bag for quite some time. I would think that he's kind of on the outs of his career. I think when his live contract's up, he's going to pretty much walk away from the game as far as playing, mm-hmm. except for Augusta until he can't walk. Or they say, Phil, you're no longer welcome to play, which they have done to players.
Yeah.
So it would be cool if he won just because of his age, but you don't want to put that target out there for Phil, for Tiger to be like, oh, Phil won the Masters at 53 years old. You know,
mm-hmm.
Tiger's going to limp his way out there and Walker just to not have Phil have a record that's better than him.
Very true. Well,
who you got for your winners?
Well, I'm going to start it off right away at 60-1, Shane Lowry. So he's my longer shot here. He's a guy that's showed consistency here at Augusta and has definitely knows how to win in big moments. I like him. I like him. You know, some numbers on him, right? He's a top 20. He's top 20 in par four scoring and par four birdie or better this season. So I like him there with that. He's just, again, he's finished no worse than a tie for 25th in his past four appearances. And at some point, you know, I would like him to crack into that top five and have a shot to win it. It is a bold move. I get it. But you got to have at least one of those. The next guy that I'm going with, I have Joaquin Niemann at plus 2,800. We've already talked about him. I love where his game's at right now. You know, something is interesting that I read. It was he's one of only two LIV golfers to average at least two strokes gained per round this year. The other one is obviously John Rahm.
Yeah.
And then number three on the list is Dustin Johnson. Two guys that we've already talked about a little bit, but Johnson is well behind them at 1.54. And again, he finished T16 last year. I like him taking a big step forward as well as hot as he's been to really show out here at the Masters and maybe make the PGA Tour like kind of wish, man, I wish that guy didn't leave us.
You know, this is the last year of their contracts, right?
Right.
So
yeah, so we'll see what happens. I have Jordan Spieth at 25-1 plus 2,500. He's Mr. Augusta, right? He's gonna show out and he's gonna do things big. And you know, knowing now that I'm talking him up like this, he's gonna shit the bed and he's gonna be terrible this weekend. And Eric's gonna be like, "I told you so. You should have bet him plus 500 to miss the cut." Well, I'm never gonna do that. He's my boy, and we're gonna ride with him there a little bit. I have someone I haven't talked about at all yet. I have Hideki Matsuyama. Will already brought him up. Love me some Hideki this weekend at plus 2,000.
Past champion.
Yeah. So, it you know, right on tune, Will, does a previous champion win it this year? I think this guy definitely has a shot to win it, yep. You know. 2021 champion. He's got a win in February at Riviera, right? Already mentioned Riviera as a comparable course to Augusta. Okay, so something there, right? He finished 12th at the Arnold Palmer. Okay, another one of those courses, right? So it just almost seems stupid to not have him on your list of outrights for me. He's one of three golfers in the field to finish at least in the top 25 in each of the past four Masters. Okay, and Scottie Scheffler is one, and hey, Shane Lowry is the other one. If you didn't catch that drift already, okay, so. I don't think Hideki is a guy that we can overlook. He's got to be somebody that we got to take a look at there. And then I'm going to round it out with probably one of the best golfers in the field that doesn't have a major championship, Xander Schauffele. You know, he's 14-1. Hey, this guy is a stud, straight up, right? Like, you look at his numbers, you look at where he's been, like, he needs to get over that hump, right? At some point, he's got to do it, right?
It's because they keep reminding him. He's like the modern day Phil Mickelson. Like, he beats the world, and then it's like, oh, when are you going to win a major? When are you going to win a major? It's like, that gets in your head eventually.
So, fun fact, right? He's the fifth ranked player, has more top tens, 11, than missed cuts, 3 in his 26 major appearances. That's pretty good odds to be inside the top 10. And that means he's contending to win, right? He's finished T5 or better in 3 of his past 4 tournaments. Trails only Scheffler in par 4 scoring for this season. I like him, man. You know, 9 of the past 11 Masters winners had gained at least 1.7 strokes tee to green per round in the 3 months leading into the tournament. There are only 2 golfers who are doing that this year. He's in really good company. Scotty Scheffler's right next to him, right? Him and Scotty. So I like Xander there to round out my picks. I feel really good. I think one of those 5 guys is going to do it. Put your money on him.
I think, we didn't even talk about Victor Hovland, who finished, top 10 in every major last year.
I wanted to get him into my picks here. He's gone through
swing changes. He's hired his new swing coach. That's kind of what he's been briefing on. Not anything normal for him. He switches swing coaches all the time. So
I just couldn't get myself to put him in there. I like these other guys. It's not that I don't think Victor Hovland's not going to maybe contend this weekend. I just couldn't get him in there to make my cut.
What about Big Dick Rick? Didn't talk about him either.
Yeah, I don't think so.
He's back at it. You know, he's back in this year.
Yeah, I know. It's unfortunate, but.
I mean, I had a few outlier bets you could do because obviously, you know, I want to pick Scotty at 450, but that's, like you say, a 2 or 3 unit bet.
Yeah.
I would almost wait to bet him second, third round if he's within 4 or 5 because you're going to get better odds. So if you don't like the Scotty bet, you know, I've got a couple alternates that I'll sprinkle at the end, but I've got Brooks at 1800. I mean, he could have a broken leg and shot 80 the last 6 rounds, which I think he shot 78 last week of the live event last round. The guy, it's a major and he's a big game hunter. So the dude's never fails us in a major. Then I have Aberg.
You're right.
I got Aberg at 3000. I like this kid. I've been on him since the week of the deer.
He's good.
A super nice kid and he's a baller. And then I also have Joaquin Neiman at 2,800. And then I've got Rory at 1,100. I think with the way he changed his plans and the way he sounds this week, it's not as, if he can get through the front 9 with a clean card, nothing big. And I think his first round scoring average is like 74.5 or 73.5. If he can get it around even par or maybe 1-2 under, I think he's going to be there. So if you don't want the Scotty, I got 3 guys you could pick. Wyndham Clark, 4,500. You could take Dangerous Denny at 10,000. I mean, the dude proved he can putt. And that putt he made on the last hole was crazy. I mean, or you can go Tiger at 14,000.
Ooh, baby.
Denny really had it going last week. And you're riding a hot putter into a major that tends to really pay off. Mm-hmm. We've seen guys that putted really well, didn't win, show up at Augusta and cash check.
Yeah. People sleeping on Rahm, hard to win it back to back. And he's been over on Liv, but I can't count him out. So yeah. I took out of contention, obviously, winning back to back. Only 3 guys have done it since 19. Only 3 players have done it since 1960, right? Jack Nicklaus, Nick Faldo, and Tiger Woods. Okay. I'm sorry, but John Rahm's not in that for me. It's not going to happen.
The field is way too deep.
It's not going to happen. Agreed.
I mean, the field was deep last year, but I think this year it's.
There are 25, 30 guys that could win this thing, man. I'm serious. Like, it really
half
could.
Of the guys on this list are winners last year. I mean, think about that. Like, normally in a normal year, like even back in the, you know, when Tiger and Phil and David Duval won everything on the planet, there's maybe 10 guys that won tournaments. I mean, every week it's a different guy. It's not the same guy winning every week unless, you know, Scotty's playing, but that's the outlier. But I mean, you just look through the list of players and you're like, oh yeah, he won. It's like, yep. Holy shit. And I get it. You know, you could probably take out a lot of the first timers, but I think that first timer's curse is going away. I think we're getting closer to maybe seeing an amateur win a major for crazy. Sure.
I talk about this all the time. And I
honestly think an amateur is going to win. Maybe not the Masters first, but a US Open or a Open Championship. I think a US Open for sure, maybe this year, because you get a stronger, you get a bigger pool to choose from, where you've got every top amateur, every top club pro, every top everybody playing. So I don't know.
If John Rahm wins next week, you can definitely clip it out and I'll play it on the show. It's fine to start the show. We can blast it all over the place. You know, maybe I'm knocking on wood here right now, but I just don't think Rahm's going to win. You know,
they're too distracted.
There's so many good players in this field. It's nuts. You know, even the guys who don't stand a chance to win are really good. And that's how it's going to be for every major, obviously, moving forward and on all the big events and stuff. But now that you have, you know, all the best guys coming from LIV to play with all the best guys from PGA Tour, and then you have all the legends and stuff still playing too, and they can still kick it around the golf course okay, right? Like, just so much talent. And it's really hard to win back-to-back in anything, let alone winning back-to-back Masters tournaments.
And I think maybe we see how good the LIV guys really are playing, because they're not playing great courses every week. You know, they did play Doral like a couple weeks ago or last week. That's an old tour event course, but you're playing Orange County National and Mayakoba. And it's like, dude, those are resort courses. Like, you're not playing anywhere hard and you're shooting 78. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's a little disappointing.
And I think, you know, Cam Smith WDs after the first round last week. I think we might see that they've proved their point. Like, they're just going over there for a check. If none of those guys get close to contending this week, besides Brooks, he's the only outlier. And Joaquin Niemann, who puts in the work, but Brooks, he didn't do shit on tour and, you know, wins majors. I think you might see like the LIV guys come out and see how good the new crop of the tour guys are and be like, oh shit, this is why I'm over here getting a free money every week.
Yeah. And I think last year with how well the LIV guys did at the Masters, I think the guys on the PGA Tour took offense to that a little bit and took that personal. And
yeah,
you know, I think that there's going to be a little bit of a buzz around there when the tournament starts, if it already hasn't started, you know what I'm saying? Because these guys that are on tour have a lot of pride, and obviously the LIV guys have a lot of pride too. And they showed that last year, but you know, these tour guys, especially the younger guys who don't know any better, they're really going to try to make sure that they make a statement this year.
Yeah. So. And I don't think the LIV guys understand how good the new crop of guys coming out are.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about this all the time, how the scoring average at these kind of like mid-tier and bottom-tier events are 2 to 3, 4 shots lower every week. I mean, look what Batia and Denny did last week to Rory and JT and Spieth. I mean, 9 shots?
Mm-hmm.
Two guys were 9 shots ahead of the field. It's not like one guy just lapped it. It's two guys.
Yeah.
On not a very easy course, shot 20 under. They haven't had a 20 under total for 6 rounds over on LIV.
Well, and it's one of those tournaments too this weekend, right? Like, you're talking about guys who are going to win this. You can have some of the guys, the new up and comers, obviously. That are going to make some noise and everything, but more than likely, right, it's going to be one of the highest ranked players in the world that's going to win this thing. You know, and everyone, I think it was Hideki who was the last like high odds guy, right, when he won it.
Yeah.
He was like 50 to 1 or something like that.
Maybe Danny Willett.
Mm. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's just kind of,
this could be a good time for some of these guys that we talk about all the time for the masses to see, like, oh shit, yeah, you know, Aberg's really good, or Dunlap's really good, or Denny McCarthy's really good, or some of these guys that we talk about, JT Poston.
Yeah, I was just going to say, JT Poston, man, if that guy gets the putter rolling, dude, you got to look out.
Yeah, I mean, because he's filthy long and he's got a good short game, but he plays clean golf, so if he can get his putter going, yikes.
I know. I'm excited. Hopefully the course conditions are fast and hard, and I want to see that. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know about the overall weather. I haven't looked to it that right now, but
maybe windy on Thursday, but I think there's a slight chance of rain tomorrow.
Yeah. I saw the slight chance of rain. I'm hoping that it's not a whole lot, because Thursday. I want that baby to be dry.
Thursday, 85% chance of rain between midnight and basically all day.
Okay, so what does that do for guys then on day one? Especially the morning guys.
This is an almost 2 inches of rain too. That's Tiger's playing late early, which could not be good, because they could get a wet course, it's unwalkable, but Sunday, 85 degrees and sunny. Mm-hmm. Saturday 77, sunny. Friday 72. Thursday it's 79. So could be with the heat that the storm breaks up. But
yeah,
best case scenario, maybe you get some sort of a rain delay and they push it back. Not good for Tiger, but could be good TV.
No delays are good for any of those elderly guys that are playing. That's for sure.
But 2 inches of rain, that's going to throw a lot of shit wrenches in the whole thing, because if you're prepping all week for a firm fast and then it rains Thursday and all of a sudden it's wet on Friday, that's going to really make things interesting.
For sure.
Be cool to watch. If you haven't downloaded the Masters app, check it out, because that's where you can get live coverage, live from the range, early coverage on TV. That's pretty much the best thing in the book.
I got to say, even, you know, going on on masters.com, if you want to just read up on guys and what they're doing, like their information on there is spot on. I love it. It's great. Yeah. Just to get a quick little tidbit on every single player. You know, I'm using that website and looking at stuff when I'm looking at numbers on the PGA website too. So like it's a nice little thing to kind of just run through all 90 players or whatever and get a feel for them. So I can't wait. Thursday can't come soon enough.
Yeah. Hopefully soon we'll get Eric back so we don't fumble through the intros, but he's always good for those what about this guy bets. So if we get some of those crazy Eric what about this guy bet, check out our Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter. We've got them all. Follow me at AC Miller on Instagram. You can follow Smitty at C Smith with an F. But that's we'll post stuff this weekend as far as if we get some random bets, the ones we use to cash out. So that way you guys can check them out. So enjoy your Masters week. It's getting close to starting. Par 3 court tournament tomorrow. So that's always a fun time. But other than that, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Plus Money Golf. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. In the meantime, keep up with the show on Facebook and Instagram at Plus Money Golf, and on Twitter at PSR Golf. Until next time.